The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere. This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Oh, oh.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pod of Thunder and Rock and Roll. And today, newly announced stand-up comedian for the Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, Brad Williams, is going to be here. And the reason why he's on the Rock and Wrestling Rager is because he is so funny. I had this great conversation with him for this show and instantly knew that he'd be perfect for Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, which happens October 27th, 2018. Not this year, next year. Of course, Ring of Honor doing its Sea of Honor tournament in the middle of the ocean. The ring is actually attached to the ship, as well as some of the best Hall of Famers in WWE history. Mick Foley, Jim Ross, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and of course, Rey Mysterio is going to be there. Conan, Raven, Lance Storm, Disco Inferno, Cyrus, the list goes on and on and on and on. Diamond Dallas Page, King, Fozzie, Phil Campbell, the Bastard Sons, the Dives, Jim Brewer is loud and rowdy. Jim Brewer is going to be doing comedy. Ron Funches is going to be doing comedy. And this man here today on Talk is Jericho, Brad Williams, is going to be making you laugh. And I'll tell you the reason why. He's a hilarious stand-up comic who also happens to be a little person, although he prefers a dwarf. He's also a huge wrestling fan, and he's got a huge sense of humor as well. He's actually had a match himself. Wait until you hear that story. Brad's also got a great story about the rib that he and Bob Saget pulled on John Stamos. This one's crazy. Plus, Brad's talking about how he got his start in stand-up comedy, some of his favorite bits and jokes and gags, and how he takes down hecklers at live gigs. He's also got his own podcast about last night and has a few tales on how he's landed some of their bigger guests like Melissa McCarthy. You might have heard of her. And of course, like I said, you'll be able to see Brad live on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. He will be there doing some live comedy. You can as well. $150 deposit. Hold your cabin for the cruise. That's $150. You heard that right. And we're setting sail next October of 2018, going from Miami to Nassau. So get your reservation deposit in there now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. All the balcony cabins on deck 8 have already sold out. There's a lot of other decks, but we're starting to get a couple of those sellouts here. So don't miss out for the confirmed lineup. Like I said, Chris Jericho, your master of ceremonies, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler hosting the whole extravaganza. Mick Foley will be there. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat is going to be doing a live Talk as Jericho with me. Rey Mysterio and Conan will be there doing a special Eddie Guerrero tribute podcast live with me as well. Lance Storm and Cyrus from Killing the Town, aforementioned Conan, Disco Inferno, Shane Helms, keeping it 100, the whole crew. Beyond the Darkness is going to be there. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, scaring the pants off you, especially around the Halloween season. Raven will be there doing some of his stand-up. Ron Funches, like I said, Jim Brewer, Brad Williams, and the Rock and Rollers, Fozzie, King, Phil Campbell, and the Bastard Sons, King, the Dives featuring Evan Stanley, the Dave Spivak Project, Spewy played his music right here in Talk is Jericho, Jim Brewer is loud and rowdy, the Darlings of Rock and Roll, the Cherry Bombs, the world's greatest female AC/DC tribute band, Shoot to Thrill, Blizzard of Ozzy, the world's best Ozzy Osbourne cover band, and of course, to culminate it, the coup de grace, pièce de résistance, Ring of Honor presenting the Sea of Honor aboard the ship in the middle of the ocean. The matches will be happening and the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship title shot in the future. And we're going to start announcing the very first Ring of Honor superstars on the Rock and Wrestling Rager. And we're going to kick off with probably the biggest name that we could. That's going to be November 1st. So it's coming up pretty soon. But get all your tickets now. If you ChrisJerichoCruise.com, book your cabin. And if you book by January 15th, you get a picture of me with the list. That's right, the actual list. So that's something fun for you. Also, Diamond Dallas Page will be there doing live DDP yoga workshops on the cruise as well. And you can try it out for yourself. Experience exactly what DDP yoga has done for me and thousands of other people like John Kaiser. So when John was 22 years old, he was hit by a drunk driver, spent most of his life trying to manage the pain from that accident. 2.5 years after the incident, he couldn't get out of bed. He's had over 200 physical therapy sessions. His three lower discs completely herniated. He lost control of his arm and his right leg, and it literally took him 10 minutes just to put on his shoes. So like many of you, John watched the Arthur Borman video on YouTube, and he ordered the DDP Yoga DVDs and started doing the program. Doctors were skeptical, but after a couple weeks, John started feeling stronger, and after about 6 months of the DDP Yoga program, John drove from New York to Indiana on business, an 11-hour car ride, and he was totally pain-free. The pain had gone away. That's the moment he knew he had his life back. I know that feeling. Same thing happened to me when I started doing DDP Yoga 6 years ago when they told me I needed 3 back surgeries. I did no back surgeries, and after 3 months with DDP Yoga, my back was up and running and ready to rock it. So that can happen to you as well, because DDP Yoga is so much more than just a weight loss program. It can help you manage pain. It can help you do things you never thought you'd be able to do again, like wrestle or sing with Fozzy for me. Judas, number 9 on the weekly charts this week. Huge, huge stuff. But for John, he can also jump rope because he was a jump rope master before the car accident. Thanks to DDP Yoga, he now has his amazing jump rope skills back, and DDP Yoga can help you too. And right now, you can take advantage of DDP's special sale at ddpyoga.com/Jericho, ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Download the DDP Yoga Now app so you can do DDP Yoga on the go. It's available on iOS and Android. Own your life. Start today. Get in the best physical and mental shape you've ever been in. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho, do it now.
Talk is Jericho.
So I've just found out that in LA they can have a service here that delivers anything. What's it called?
Postmates.
So Brad Williams is here, and we've never met ever, but I asked you to run errands for me before we actually met face to face.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, Chris. Everyone wants a midget to just bring them things. Like back to the days of the kings, they just like bring me my eye drop delivery midget. And then I mean, like, this has to be a fantasy for you. This is like complete rich guy move.
It's like King Jericho, and I have these eye drops because I don't have any tear ducts. My tear ducts are all messed up, so I actually have to use these eye drops all the time. And I came here and I don't have any, so I'm like, well, I'll just get Brad to drop by the drugstore and grab some for me. And when your friend had some Visine on him or something?
Yeah, because he had them for the reason that I figured you needed them, which was...
You thought I was in the room blazing.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I figured I was walking into the RVD Sabu suite.
Yeah, no.
I've heard stories.
Yeah.
And so I just figured that's what you guys do.
No, I just...
No judgment here.
Yeah, just to actually have red eyes. And Opcon is the only one that works. So Brad came, and then he gave me the little Visine, and I was like, this isn't even what I wanted. So then you called the delivery service, and they're going to actually... They deliver anything you want.
Anything you want. That's legal. I mean, okay. You can't.
So if I did want a blaze.
Yeah, you can't call up a hooker.
Or weed.
Yeah. Well, California, maybe.
It could be. If I have a car.
I don't know. I don't have my weed delivered
here. I don't
here.
Either. I'm not a weed guy. I've never been a weed guy.
I'm not either, but I love being around guys that are, just because when guys get really high and then they look down and they see me, they're like, oh my God, this is really good weed. Because you're tiny as f***. You're tiny, but your head is huge. Like, this is weird. This is the part where it's radio, it's podcasting, where I have to explain that I am a dwarf, little person of short stature. If you're listening to this podcast, the good reference would be Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle.
Who I'm actually texting with now.
Nice.
Because we all know each other.
Well, yeah, it's imp. If you're a Game of Thrones guy, you're the imp. But what's the preferred nomenclature for this podcast? Because Hornswoggle said, "Call me a midget; it makes me money." What is your preference? What is your
preference? Sort of along his line, but I don't. I'm not really. I don't really care. Dwarf, little person; those are the PC terms. But to me, like. When you say you're a little person, it's like Rey Mysterio is a little person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a tiny dude. He's what, 5'2"? 5'3"?
Yeah, about that, 5'3".
Yeah. So Rey's a little person. Dwarf sounds mythical to me. Like, it sounds like I'm going to come into the hotel room with a battle axe,
like
and now we're going to have it out. Yeah. So, but then, midget to me sounds nice.
When did midget become a looked... down upon
I
term.
I don't know. When I was born, everyone just told me, like, oh, you can't. Oh, if someone calls you a midget, that's the same thing as calling a black person the N-word. And my response was, midget, please. No. It's not the same. Because N-word is the most horrible word that we have. It's
terrible.
It's a reference to slavery. Midgets were never slaves because we would have been the worst slaves on the planet.
Slaves to gravity.
Slaves of Gravity. By the way, great band name, by the way.
That'd be great, yes.
If there was a dwarf band called Slaves of Gravity.
Slaves of Gravity. Oh, yeah.
That's a metal band,
my
friend.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned that you and Hornswoggle became friends or whatever. So when we were talking about Game of Thrones and making jokes, but when Peter Dinklage becomes like one of the top paid actors in Hollywood, everyone loves Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah.
Is that good? Like, does that reflect good upon you?
It's good for the brand, the dwarf brand in general. Because he's not in a role where like he's the elf or the leprechaun or whatever. It's good for the brand. It's probably good for me, but I mean, and you kind of know this because we're in a performance individual business where when one guy gets really popular, you're like, well, that's my spot.
Right. So it could have been you. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm like, well, I should be that dude. And the thing is I'm incredibly jealous of him because A, he's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if they ever make a movie called The Brad Williams Story, it'll probably be starring Peter Dinklage. I'll be like, really? He beat me for that?
Right. No, but here's the thing. If they make the Peter Dinklage story.
Oh, I'm taking your role.
Brad Williams could be
the
lead.
I've always said, because I'm a huge WWE fan. Mm-hmm. The fact that I'm in this room with you is like, I'm trying to play it cool. I'm probably geeking out.
In fact, that's why I asked you to get eye drops. I'm like, oh, this guy's such a mark. He's going to get them for me no matter what.
Yes, absolutely. You could have said anything.
Here's the reason why. Because so my wife and I always go to the comedy club Side Splitters in Tampa.
Yeah.
And I was out of town, and she said she was going with her brother-in-law, sister, and she... the report, there was this guy, Brad Williams. He's so funny, hilarious guy. And it didn't take maybe 4 or 5 minutes of talking about you until he brought up the midget thing.
Yeah.
Not that that matters. There's a midget that's funny. It's this really funny guy who happens to be. And so I was like, wow. And I'm always looking, as you are, for podcast guests.
Right.
She took a picture. I think she got your number. And I was like, okay, dude, I'm in. And that's why you're here.
Yeah. And it was a weird thing because she goes like, oh, my husband would love to have you on his podcast. So I'm thinking like, oh, great.
Oh, yeah, great.
Someone's husband has a podcast. Cute.
It's called the Arthur Mitchell Hour.
Yeah. Everyone's got a podcast. Yeah. And she goes, you might know him. He's a pro wrestler. His name's Chris Jericho. And that's when I did the mask, like, jaw drop. Like, I could talk an hour with you at least just about the WrestleMania match with Shawn Michaels.
Wow.
Like, I could go that. Just,
big fan.
Yeah, because that was the match of the night.
Thank you.
By far. So,
thank you.
Yeah. So, and just the fact that I'm here now talking with you is weird. I'm trying not to geek out. But your wife said you're a comedy nerd too. Like,
completely. Yeah. And that's why like I love having comedians on the show. But here's the thing with comedians though. Okay. And not, more specifically, actor comedians. So I had Chris Tucker on. A while ago. Not super funny in real life. Kind of calm,
very
cool guy.
Yeah, reserved.
Nick Swardson off his freaking rocker. The funniest guy.
Well, that's not a character.
That's him, right?
Nick is.
But you're like that too. You're very personable. You got a good sense of humor. That's what you want when you have a guest on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and this comes from I'm a comedian because my parents. Who are tall. We're not all like, you know, midgets aren't like gremlins. Like, you know, like get one wet, like like four others pop out.
And like Hornswoggle, he has a normal sized kid.
Yeah. Right. Oh, he has a son or a daughter?
It's not son or daughter, but it's a normal, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's normal
that,
word?
Whatever.
I don't even know what the word is.
What is normal?
Full sized person.
Yeah.
Not a halfling.
We call you reachers. That's what we call you guys.
Reachers?
Yeah, that's our derogatory term that we all secretly use for you.
For tall people?
Yeah, because you're like, yeah, when you're in the grocery store and you can't get something, you call over a reacher, and then they reach.
They're all
yeah.
just slaves to you.
Yeah. That's what we say to make us seem like we're the ones in charge.
But is that how it goes? A good point. Like if you go to the grocery store or whatever, and you want to get the Apple Jacks, and they're on the top shelf,
I love you and cereal. You know what? I have an insane Napoleon complex and a lot of pride. Mm-hmm. So I will play spider midget and I will climb the damn counters. I will throw something up there to knock it off.
Do you bring like a broom with you or something?
Something. Oh, I'll figure something out. I mean, right. Like the damnedest thing is being a road comic. Like I travel almost every week, and when I got to get my bag up in the overhead storage bin. Oh, Chris, this is like lion salt worthy. I will jump up on the two armrests, reach down, grab it, and in one motion just huck it.
Get it up there.
And I've done it to where I've mastered this thing, and I've thrown it up, one clean shot, I turn, and then the entire plane's like, oh my God, that was unbelievable. Normally the Southwest person just does horrible jokes. This is great. It's crazy. And for me, it's like, I'm just getting the bag up there.
That's just
my life.
Not a big deal. Right, right.
Yeah.
You know it's funny. Going back to the midget thing before we move on to the next thing, my first promo ever in wrestling, it was with CNWA, Calgary Wrestling, and it was in a bowling alley. And they had like the big winter spectacular.
Yeah.
And me and Lance Storm were a tag team, and we weren't actually on the show. We weren't good enough to be on the show, but we did a promo to talk about it. And I was told, here's what you want to say. There's going to be a championship match, there's going to be a battle royal, and there's going to be midgets. Those are the three things that you do. So you can actually watch this promo. Like, you know, it's going to be a great night. For some reason, I like a Southern night. It's going to be a great night. We got a championship match. We got a battle royal. The midgets are going to be here.
I mean, I'm hooked. I now want to go back and see that match.
And it was Farmer Pete and like Little Joe or something like that.
Yeah,
and these
guys
were the most miserable pricks, and they were drinking, like just drunk and just assholes. And I was like,
that sucks. I'm sorry that was your first impression.
Well, actually, I had more midgets in my high school than black people.
What? Go Canada. You're so much better than we
actually,
are.
Actually, dude, one of the midgets is also a stand-up comic. Her name is Tanya Davis.
She's a good friend of mine.
Because we all
know each other. Then I legit sent her a message on Facebook this morning.
I went to high school with her.
No shit.
The same high school.
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, I hate to say it, but small world. That's crazy.
Oh. No, seriously. So there you go. So not only do you all know each other, but there's comedians which know each other as well.
Absolutely. You know, the fact that you bring that up, the fact that you bring up your first, like, sort of, was it your first match ever? No, your first TV match?
Well, my first basically TV appearance. Like, I was just a promo.
Like, and that's in a bowling alley. It makes me realize that stand-up comics have a lot in common with wrestlers.
Oh, absolutely.
Where A, road. Mm-hmm. B, performing in places that oftentimes are not geared towards your profession. Mm-hmm. You're in a bar. You're in a bingo hall.
Yes.
You're in a something. That
banquet hall.
That they convert. And and then see, when you tell someone you're a pro wrestler, that could mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
That can mean you're The Rock, and that could mean you're a jobber in an indie.
Right, right.
And
in a banquet hall.
Right. But it's got the same title, and the same thing with the comics. Like when I go on the road, people say like, oh, my nephew's a comic. You probably know him. He's out in L.A. He's very successful. Here's his name. And if I don't know who he or she is, they're not successful.
Right.
I'll say that right now.
Yeah, sure.
It's such a small circle, but you can be doing four open mics and then tell someone, I'm a comedian.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it is.
Yeah.
I'm a wrestler. How many matches? You had 10 matches over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
It's not a wrestler.
Yeah. I can tell you this, Chris Jericho. I've had one match.
Really?
One wrestling match.
Nice.
And does that mean I'm a pro wrestler?
No,
but I've been trained because my friend who's sitting over here, his name's Ozzy.
Mm-hmm.
He was being trained, and I would show up just to hang out.
Where are you from?
I'm from Orange County, California.
Oh, okay, great.
So, what was the name of it?
School of Hard Knocks. Jesse Hernandez. So here's a funny story about Jesse Hernandez.
Okay.
He was training up in San Bernardino at the time. So I used to know a guy. We drove down to California, 37-hour drive for one match, stopped by Jesse Hernandez's place for an afternoon, hung out, took some bumps and stuff.
Yeah.
To this day, Guess who Jess Hernandez says he trained? Me. Oh, yeah, I trained Chris Jericho. I trained Chris Jericho. I was there for
it's
2 hours.
Yeah. It's on the wall. Graduate, star pupil. Exactly. You too could be like, exactly. You too could be the first ever undisputed heavyweight champion if you train you train with me.
So who's your match against? Tell me about it.
My match, they had a fallout at a county fair, and they needed a tiny wrestler. His name was like, what was it, the Angry Clown, the Psycho Clown?
Oh, my gosh.
El Payaso Azul. That's who I was wrestling.
Isn't that the blue clown? Azul is blue.
Yeah, the blue clown. So, and the best part about it is this guy doesn't speak English, a word of English. And this is my first ever match. And
is he a midget? A mini?
He's just tiny.
Small guy.
Like, he looks like he could be a jockey, like that kind of guy. Right. And this is on a legit card. Rikishi was on the card. Mark Jindrak was on the card. The guy that played Mordecai. What's his name?
Kevin something. Right.
Yeah, he was on the cards. It was a legit card. Mm-hmm. And so we had to go over the match. And I've just taken bumps and watched some TV. Like, that's all I've done. And this guy, we had to use my buddy Ozzy, who's sitting here, as a translator, because he speaks Spanish. So he would essentially tell what was going to, and I would just nod and say, okay. And he'd say, like, all right, then you're going to give me a Hurricane Rana. And I didn't know how to do that, but I said, okay. You just say yes.
How did you get roped into this match?
Because somebody
didn't show up.
Fell out. Okay. And they called the school where I had shown up, the School of Hard Knocks. And they said, like, hey, we need a mini. Do you guys have one? And they said, yeah.
So what was your name?
Half Pint. I wrestled as Half Pint.
Okay, good.
And but we did the kind of Hurricane Rana where it was like the sidewalk slam into the Hurricane Rana. Yeah. So me,
spinning head scissors.
Yeah. So me as the guy giving it, technically, I don't have to do shit.
Mm-hmm.
I just throw my legs up, and then the other guy does all the work. El Payaso Azul does all the work. And we put on a damn match.
Nice.
And, I mean, I'm sure for a guy like you, you'd probably say, like, that sucked. But there was one move where I was supposed to give him a crossbody block from the apron, and he was on the outside. I'm not diving through the ropes, so I'm on the other side. And I jump, and he catches me. But because I had so much adrenaline pumping, like, I jumped way too far. So he backed up, caught me, and then took another 3 steps back, then dropped, and my head right on the guardrail. Right on the guardrail. Yeah. I had a lump the size when I got up.
Welcome to the business, kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
See, but the thing is, it's one of those things. Like, I've done some stand-up comedy, like, you know, amateur mics and stuff.
Sure.
But I know what it feels like.
Yeah.
A little piece.
Yeah.
As you know now what it feels like. You can be a fan, but now you actually know how it is to actually be in the ring.
And those ropes, those ropes are not rubber bands, my friend.
Dude, it's like getting hit with a baseball bat in the breadbasket.
Every time.
Yes.
Every time.
I remember when I first started training, I was like, I cannot believe how stiff these ropes are.
Yeah.
Like, literally huge bruises all on the side of my body from hitting those damn things.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that.
No, because when the guys and girls you see on TV hit the ropes, they're not bruised up.
No, because you're hitting and bouncing
around. Yeah, you're like, because they do 9,000 crunches a day. Yeah.
Well, plus you hit the ropes 9,000 times as well.
Yeah.
And you're used to it. You get a callus.
Right.
You know?
It's just but that world was so – it was so crazy to have that one little taste. And thankfully, I had that taste, and that put the thought in my head where I go, okay, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to do that again. Like, if I have an opportunity, like, maybe, like – because, like, you guys will have, like, guest hosts on Raw.
Yeah,
Jon Stewart will come in and, like, kick someone in the nuts or something. Right. Seth Rollins in the balls, whatever. Great. I'll do that.
Yeah.
But I'm not – like – but, like, we, I keep referencing a guy who's in the room that you guys can't see.
He's here.
We would wrestle at our high school whenever they would do assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
We would wrestle. Like, we would do a hardcore match, and, like, just, they always called on us to be the entertainment, like, before the announcement of the new football jerseys or the car wash or the fundraiser. We would do matches, and, yeah, so, like, I kind of grew up a huge mark.
So what was it like for you, like, in high school, growing up as a little guy?
I was popular as
Yeah.
Everyone else is like, oh, man, high school sucked. No! Mine was great! I was funny. I wrestled. I can break dance. Are you kidding me? Have you ever seen the midget do the worm? Like, that sounds like a porno line.
Right.
It's not. But, like, it happens, and it's incredible. So yeah, I was.
His personality is everything, right?
Everything.
I'm sure you had chicks hanging around you.
Yes, because chicks have a bucket list too. You know that.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This is Chris Jericho inviting you to the first ever Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. Picture this: rock and roll, wrestling, comedy, live podcasting, all on the open ocean from October 27th to the 31st, 2018, from Miami to Nassau. I'm bringing Hall of Fame wrestlers, some of the greatest rock and roll bands on the planet, and putting the first wrestling ring on a cruise ship ever. Don't be a stupid idiot. Make the list. Check us out at ChrisJerichoCruise.com.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
So how did you get into stand-up?
Here's a great story. So I was always outgoing, as you can probably tell by my loudness. But I was in the audience of a comedy club. Me and my dad went to see a comedian, and the comic is on stage. He starts doing midget jokes. Half the audience is laughing. Half the audience is sitting by me going, not laughing. The comic notices and goes like, what's happening over here? Like, you know, you can read a crowd.
Sure.
And
paying attention.
Yeah. So you go, what's happening over here? And he says the line, what is one of them here? And I just raised my creepy little hand in the air and I was like, what's up, dude? And he called me up on stage. He just said, get up here. I need to talk to you. He asked me questions. I gave honest answers. I wasn't trying to lie. I wasn't trying to be funny. But my answers got laughs. Mm. And that was the shot of adrenaline. Mm. That was the heroin going into your arm going like, well, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
And I talked to the guy, and he said, well, this is how you do it. You go to open mics. You grind it out. And that's when the sickness began, my friend.
So when you start going to open mics and stuff, are you doing midget jokes?
Have to. Well, I have to do them. Like, people ask me that. Like, oh, do you just do midget jokes? Like, well, I have to talk about it. I've had two specials on Showtime. I've had, like, two other albums out. And I'll always have to do a little bit of midget jokes because there will be people in the audience that have never seen me before. They come in. And if I just stand up there and talk about airline food and the weather, they're just sitting there like, does he know?
Elephant in the room.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Is he aware? It's like, yes. Yeah. You know, you have to talk about it. But, yes, if you go see my act, if you go see me on the road, I'm not just going to do an hour of, I could take a bath in a thimble. That's weird. No, I'm not going to do that. I'll go in other topics. I'll talk about other things.
Like, what are some of the stuff you like to talk about?
All right. Like, right now, and you as someone who travels a lot, I hope you share my anger of this topic. Therapy dogs.
Mm.
I fucking hate them.
Why?
I can't stand it. Okay, not the legit therapy dogs. Right. If you're blind, you have a seeing eye dog, you're a veteran with PTSD, you have seizures, you have the seizure dog, I'm not mad at you.
Yeah.
I'm mad at the people that fake it.
Fake it?
Yes, yes. You go to Amazon. Go to Amazon. You can type in therapy dog vest. And you can just buy one. And you can put on your dog, and you walk up, you say, this is my therapy animal. I need to fly with this thing.
Oh, wow.
And if you do that, even if you're listening to this podcast, which means you're probably a good person, overall, I think you're a piece of shit if you do that because you're faking.
Of course you are.
You're faking that you're handicapped to get an advantage over other people.
Absolutely.
You might as well just park in a handicapped space and do a cartwheel out of that thing. It's the same thing to me. Same thing.
Yeah.
And I've gotten into fights on planes because I will ask people. I will straight up walk up to them and be like, why? Why do you have that?
When you have that dog?
Yeah, and sometimes they'll say something like, oh, it's because I get very nervous when I fly. It's like, we're all nervous! We're in a pressurized tube of air 30,000 feet above the earth. One minor mechanical failure can have you plump your death in a fiery ball of hell! Yeah, we're scared! You don't think they know that? They just served us booze at 8:30 in the fucking morning. Why? Because we're scared, okay? Therapy dog my ass. I will fight you.
You know what bothers me, and this is something, like, when the plane lands and people get off, I like taking my time, you know?
Yeah.
Usually sitting in the front section, right?
Yeah.
And so,
because let's face it, you're Chris Jericho. You're flying first class.
Okay, first class. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. When I get out of the seat, there's this line of people that are getting up, and nobody ever stops to let me in. Yeah. Ever.
They're just, no.
They're just like, once you missed your shot, you missed your shot. And yeah. If I'm driving and I stop at a stop sign, and then you stop at a stop sign,
yeah.
Someone goes and it's your turn.
You let them in.
I literally have to barge my way in, and I always get this. hello. I'm like, yeah, hello. Like, you weren't even going to stop for me, so I'm going to cut you off.
Yeah.
Like, what rude type of people.
Yeah, and you probably get it a little worse because you're a big guy, you know, you're built, you're svelte. If I do it, they're like, that's cute.
Well, you could just sneak through. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, to me,
I have to make a scene, like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a bumping, but there's etiquette. Yeah. There's plain etiquette.
Exactly. If you see someone, they're ready to go, that's fine.
Let me go.
It's this whole world in the sky, which I don't think none of people talk about. We have laws on the ground.
Yeah.
We need laws in the air. We need universal laws.
Sky laws, yeah.
Everyone can apply to. Everyone knows. Everyone understands. That's
what are the things that bother you?
Well, right now, let's see. You know what? And, ooh, I could talk to you about something because you're Canadian. Okay, there was a case that happened up in Canada that has got the comedy community kind of reeling right now. There's a comedian from Montreal. His name is Mike Ward. He does comedy both in English and French. And he did a joke on a television special where he made fun of a Canadian celebrity. Now, this Canadian celebrity happens to be a disabled child who can sing.
Oh, okay.
And he's this, like... And the joke was is that the kid had a terminal disease, so he was given all these like make a wishes, but the kid didn't die, so he kept getting make a wishes, so he kept like taking jobs. And I'm doing a horrible job. His name is Mike Ward. That's just
right,
the joke.
Right.
But so his joke is like, hey, we gave you the wish, now you have to die. Like, that's the deal.
That's the rule.
We had an agreement. Great joke. So
it's terrible, but it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some sort of, and maybe you know this, there's some sort of like moral council of Canada. This is like Quebec, though.
Yeah, well, Quebec is a weird animal on its own.
Yeah, it's its own. I don't want to lump in the good people of Toronto, Calgary, Winnipeg, Vancouver. This is
Quebec. Some kind of a star chamber, council wearing hooded robes,
right,
of course.
And they fine him for emotional, because... The kid the kid complains and sues Mike and wins this moral tribunal, whatever. And Mike has to pay this kid $42,000, 42 grand, because he made a joke that offended him. And it pisses me off even more because one of the kid's disabilities, he has a few, but one of the kid's disabilities is that he's deaf. Who the f*** told him the joke? How did he know? What? He wasn't watching the special going, hey, that Anthony talking about me. He wasn't doing that, Chris. He wasn't. Someone had to be like, did you see what the man said about you? That's what had to happen. And then I think it may have been overturned. I think the case may have gone to like a Supreme Court and then been overturned. But the fact that that was even an issue, that a comedian told a joke about me that I didn't like so I can sue the comedian, that... Oh.
That starts going against some like free speech type things, right?
And slippery slope. If you say like, so now that kid, okay, so we made a joke about him. So now we can't make jokes about any celebrity. Okay, so what qualifies as a celebrity? Anyone who's known, anyone that has that over 500 Twitter followers, like what the is a celebrity? There's some people on Big Brother that think they're celebrities, and they're not. Mm-hmm. Farrah Abraham thinks she's a celebrity. She just them.
Right.
That's it. Like, so what is the qualification? And I'm sure you guys have had. I mean, I think one of the craziest cases that I remember, Muhammad Hassan, that character that you guys had, was killing it. One of the best heels in the business, make the crowds hate him. This was
2005.
So it's like the heart of the Afghanistan war, the Iraq war, and you have Muhammad Hassan,
terrorism,
who's coming out essentially doing like an updated Iron Sheik, and a good wrestler too. But enough people complained and said this is offensive. And the guy got taken off.
But you know what also happened was some bad timing. Was there some kind of an attack like yeah. in London or something, where there's guys like garroting, like, you know,
right.
a choke thing around.
Yeah.
And that kind of happened at the same time. So he kind of got caught in the middle of the crossfire. Yeah, it's like too much. There, right?
I don't know that wrestler's name.
Mark, I think his name was Mark.
Oh, wow. Muhammad Hassan, his name's Mark. I love wrestling. For all I know, he probably wasn't even from the Middle East. He was probably Mexican.
I think he was like an Italian kid from the Bronx or something.
Just had really dark hair.
Yeah, just dark skin.
That's what
you know. You know what's interesting? You said earlier when you were talking about the kid being deaf, he did it like a deaf voice and stuff. Like, you can do whatever you want when it comes to that sort of thing, because if anybody gives you shit, you're like, I'm a midget.
Look at me. Yeah. I'm not the guy from on high. Literally not the guy from on high. Looking down upon you and like life is so great for me. It's like, no, I'm the guy who's one of you and making fun of you. And yes, that is an advantage
that
I have.
Do you think that because you have sort of a gimmick, you know, just a physical gimmick.
Sure.
It's like if you were a black comic or if you were a woman comic.
Yeah.
Does that help you stand up for the pack, or does it make you – does it put you in a wrong sort of way?
It helps you at first because you will get – you will get put on shows that probably you haven't earned your way on just because they don't want to have 8 straight white guys in a row.
Right.
You know,
they
want to have some diversity. So, hey, let's put a female on. Hey, let's put a black guy on. Hey, let's put a gay guy on. Hey, let's put a midget on. Like, they want to break up the monotony. So normally, if you have some sort of difference, you'll get that boost at first. But then it comes around and it hurts you, because then people start saying, oh, well, you're only doing well because of your gimmick.
Right.
You know, so then it starts being like, that guy's actually funny. Brad, he's just funny because he's a midget. Like, take that out. He's not funny. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's impossible to prove, because I've never written jokes as a 6'5" blonde guy. I can't do that.
Right.
So, so it helps at first, then it hurts, but then... But then once you break that ceiling, it comes around to helping again, because every guy that looks like – there's a lot of hipster comics with beards. You may see them go like, wow, that's a funny guy, but then you don't remember them.
Yes.
You're clicking through the channels and you see me on my Showtime special Fun Size, or my second one, Daddy Issues. You see a midget in a vest and a tie telling jokes. You're like, whoa.
Yeah,
let's see what he's got to say.
Yeah.
You know, the same the same way seeing a guy like Papa Shango, that's gonna make you stop and go like, what's his deal?
Yeah,
what's that guy?
But then if his matches aren't any good, which they weren't, then you're done with it quite quickly.
Exactly. Right. So you do have to be good. Mm. So wherever your gimmick is. Yeah, it may get your foot in the door,
sure.
But then you have to be good.
But that's like anything else. It's like rock and roll. Like with Kiss or even with Fozzy.
Yeah.
Okay, Jericho's in the band. Okay, if the music isn't good, you're not going to last. You know, if Kiss's music wasn't good, it doesn't matter if they wear makeup or not.
Because then you're just going to be dog star. Yeah, shots fired, Keanu.
Yeah, Keanu. If you're listening, and we know you are, we're coming after you. So what was your first, what was your break into the business?
The break in the business, well, it's weird. As you know, it takes years to be an overnight success.
Of course.
There's a bunch of breaks. You need a bunch of things. The comic that actually discovered me on stage is a comic named Carlos Mencia.
He's the guy that was telling midget jokes?
Yeah.
Really?
That was the guy.
Oh, wow. He's a pretty big name.
So then he, right after that, got a TV show on Comedy Central called Mind of Mencia, and he had a midget in his crew that he knew, so he's like, great, I'll throw him on. And every time I came on the show, it got a big, like, they literally would track it and be like, when Brad is on, the show spikes.
Was it a sketch comedy show or something?
Yeah,
or, okay.
it was like a Chappelle show-esque. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And when I would come into sketches, there'd be a big pop. So that was one break. Another break was getting on the radio out here in Los Angeles on a show called The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, which is the number one morning show out here if you're not driving a minivan with 22 kids in it.
Right.
So, yeah, it's not Ryan Seacrest. It's actually good.
Yeah.
So I got on that show, and they pushed me hard out in the L.A. crowd. And then getting the first special on Showtime, which was called
Fun Size.
Yeah, that was the first big sort of like, oh shit! Now I can tell that people are in my audience because they like me as a comedian, not because they were walking by coming out of the Dave and Buster's and looked up, be like, well, what do we do now? Yeah. Well, is it dwarf telling jokes? All right, let's go
check it out.
Yeah, so that was definitely sort of the next break. And then, as you know, it's not just when you get a break, it's how do you maintain that. It's
momentum.
Yeah, it's doing another special. It's having a podcast. I have a podcast called the About Last Night podcast. Some great wrestling fans have been on it. We had Freddie Prinze Jr. on recently.
Great guy. Did you just say that you said hi?
Yeah.
I love Freddie.
Yeah, and he used to write. I didn't know he used to write for the WWE.
And then he was the ipso facto acting coach for the WWE.
Yeah. He told us some stories about him trying to teach guys how to like really act and really cut a promo
and there's
an art to it, as you know. Like,
well, I mean, it's hard to teach guys that don't know anything about acting how to act. It's either something you can do or something you can't, you know.
Yeah,
what I mean?
And trying to like find out, okay, well, maybe what you're trying to do is not your strength, let's try to find something else that you're
getting.
Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, we've had him on, and we had a Will Sasso on as a guest. It was a huge mark.
So you have guests on every week?
Yeah, we've had Melissa McCarthy, we've had Neil Patrick Harris, we've had Bob Saget, we've had like Jaleel White, we've had like crazy
are these just people
guests
that you're meeting on the road?
Yeah, well, like my partner is a comic named Adam Ray. He was the bad guy in the movie The Heat. He was the lead singer of the metal band in Ghostbusters, the remake, which ironically looked a lot like Fozzie. he meets all – like, he's like the Hollywood guy. I'm like the road dog comic. So he met Susan Sarandon at a ping pong party, which sounds like a NyQuil dream. I know. Talked to her and – got Susan Sarandon on the podcast. We got
that's great.
He's very good looking. He's the eye candy. No, he's very talented. He's my boy. But yeah, like he books a lot of these guys. I mean, hell, there was one time when I was in LA, just at a restaurant. Brett Ratner, the director, sat down next to me, said something about I was kind of eavesdropping, just waiting for him to say something so I can tag it with a joke. He said something. I joked. He laughed. Hi, I'm Brad Williams. I'm a comic. I know this comic who I know knows you. Ended up talking. He came on the podcast. Told us great stories about throwing water balloons at kids with Michael Jackson. Like, not like that word, like trick-or-treating. And then didn't know it was Jackson's house. It was a house he was renting, and they threw water balloons. It was insane. Just like the most insane, like, that's the weirdest mushroom dream gone wrong.
Isn't it funny, though, like, now, like, when you have a podcast, and so many people have podcasts nowadays.
Right.
But when you actually have, like good ones, like this one or yours, draw some numbers and have some steam, I feel like such a dick sometimes when I meet someone, because automatically my first thing is, can I get you on my show?
Yeah.
Like, can I get you on my show?
It's hard.
And I just want to have people on because it's always fun. Like, we always have a great time because, you see, I don't have any questions. And I know what it's like to get asked the same stupid shit. Yeah. I have some notoriety myself. But I feel like such a goof when it's just like, hi, Amy Schumer. You want to do my show?
Yeah.
Well, can at least say hi first and, like, get to know somebody?
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is, you know? It's like swinging for the fences.
And you know what? You don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
They're not going to – they're probably not going to come to you and be like, can I do your podcast?
Yes.
have to ask.
You have to ask.
And the worst thing they can do is say no.
Right.
And they say no, you say, no worries, let's hang out, let's be friends.
Or even worse, whatever. The worst thing they can do is string you along. That drives me nuts.
The aforementioned Nick Swartzen, he's been on. We had him going for almost 2 years, just going back and forth.
He couldn't do it. Couldn't do it.
And just like, oh, we got this date. And our white whale guest, our ultimate guest, after Chris Jericho, of course, is John Stamos. And there's a reason why.
Oh, my gosh.
John Stamos is afraid of little people. He has a legit phobia.
Oh.
And I know this because I met him.
What's the phobia called?
Achondroplastophobia.
Because you know who else has that?
Who?
Big Show.
Get the fuck. Well, everyone's a midget to him.
I know, but he's
5'5". He's terrified.
Ask Swoggle about it. He's legitimately scared of midgets. Like, they creep him out. Or you guys creep him out.
Yeah, now I got to. Now
it's another one. So John Stamos has phobia of little people.
I did a show one time. It was a charity show with a bunch of comics were on it. Bob Saget was one of the comics on it. Stamos was just there hanging out, and then he was going to do a bit with Bob after his set.
Recently?
This is like maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Bob runs up to me. Now, I've never met Bob before at this point.
Okay.
And he runs up to me and just bursts into my dressing room and goes, Brad, you have to come meet John Stamos. And I was like, hi, Bob Saget. Yes, sure, love to. And he goes like, no, you don't understand. Stamos is terrified of little people. And I just go like, well, yes, now I have to meet him. So we do this whole thing where Bob distracts John, talks to him, his back is turned, I'm hiding behind a door, and all of a sudden I run in, grab Stamos by the leg, and just start humping his leg. Just start like going up, and Stamos looks down, sees me, and I'm telling you this right now, Chris Jericho. John Stamos screams like a bitch. Okay, like he just like just starts like going nuts and then like kicking his leg to try to like get me to fly off. And I'm riding it like one of those pro bull riders, like 8 seconds. I'm getting this. So and yeah, he was legit terrified of little people.
You're kidding me.
Legit.
Like he actually was freaking out like, yes! like if it was a spider on his leg,
yes,
or something.
Yes, the same thing. Maybe wow. he thought it was gonna bite him and like maybe he thought dwarfism was contagious.
If you bite him.
Yeah, like, oh but no, I'll molt. I'm like, yeah, maybe that might happen. So yeah.
It's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So fast forward about 2 years after that.
How'd that end up? Did you just shook you off and ran away screaming the best, into the night?
All right, I left this out because it is a joke in my special, so it's kind of cheating, but it's a legit story. Dave Coulier was also there. They were all hanging out.
They hang out?
They're friends.
They're all friends.
Play? Yeah.
Really?
They're all friends. It's insane.
God, that's hilarious.
And this was a huge show. Dave Coulier sees me hump Stamos' leg. And without missing a beat, just goes, hey, Brad, cut it out.
He did not.
And I cannot write that shit.
He uses that in real life?
Of course.
Oh,
wouldn't
man.
You?
You know, I hate Dave Coulier. I got a real problem with Dave Coulier.
Why? You're a Alanis Morissette fan?
I just don't like. Oh, is that she wrote about Dave Coulier?
That's who You Ought to Know is about.
No.
You didn't know that?
Well, I never really knew for sure.
That's who that song is about.
You Ought to Know is about Dave Coulier. Wow.
So that means
she
that
went down on him in a theater.
In a theater.
See, here's the thing.
What's your problem with Cooley? He's Canadian.
Well, here's the thing. That show bothers me because it's so cheesy, and his stupid humor of the bullwinkle and the jackalope
and
the bad. And it always bugged me. And then I don't like his name. I didn't like his hair. And now the fact that he actually uses cut it out in real life when he's hanging around with Stamos and Saget,
sure,
don't like him. Okay, so he said... So he says, cut it out, and you stop.
Yeah.
Stamos runs away.
Because when that moment happens, well, how do you not laugh?
So fast forward
like 2 years later. I'm at Bob Saget does an incredible charity thing every year. It's a big dinner for the Scleroderma Foundation. And
what is scleroderma?
I think it's a skin disorder,
gotcha.
I think. But he had a relative die of it, so it's very personal to him. I was lucky enough to get an invite one year, and Stamos is there. So I go like, all right, round two. And but I'm like watching what's going on stage. Stamos runs up to me.
And starts humping your leg.
No, I wish. grabs me and goes, Brad, come on. Like, I haven't seen the guy in 2 years since we did this whole thing, but I kind of mocked him a few times on Twitter. I did the special. I know he saw the joke. So, like, he knows that I've been talking about it. So he grabs me and he runs me over to Jimmy Kimmel's table. Jimmy Kimmel's there, and he's there every year.
Right.
And he just walks in front, holding my hand, and goes, see, Jimmy? I'm good now. And now he's told me, he's like, yeah, I'm cool with you because I know you.
Right.
Like, you're cool, but then, like, if another dwarf walked, like, if Tenya Lee Davis was to walk up to him, he would freak the f*** out.
That's so crazy.
Right?
It's like a serious mental – is it insulting –
Yes, because I'm like, really? You have the same fear of me that, like you said, spiders or, a wild animal?
Something
like,
that's not human?
Yeah, like, yeah. I'm not going to do anything to you. I don't understand. I don't understand what it is. It's like, I don't know. It's like I'm trying to think because, like, I know the TV show It, like, did clowns for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, like, they watched Willy Wonka and had a bad experience. I have no idea.
Scared of Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. Maybe they went to a mall and the mall elf during Christmas time was like kicked him off Santa's leg. I don't know what happened, but
have you ever had like experiences like that with like where people like I know for example I think it was Hornswoggle to me. Little kids sometimes like real small kids can't equate like why does this guy have a beard?
Yeah, it confuses them. Mm-hmm. God, I. I've had so many, like, the laundry list of questions that kids have asked me. But between how did you get like that, which implies that I was once tall and then shrank.
I got squished.
One kid came up to me and said, "You just need to eat big food." Which is like, I'm insulted, but it's adorable. Yeah, so you're kind of right.
Yeah.
Tons of like how tons of questions, and I don't get mad at kids because kids don't know. Mm-hmm. Adults have been around. They've hopefully seen a little person in their lives, seen them in a movie, something, and there's a reference point. Like kids. They don't understand.
You could be the first little person they've ever seen.
Exactly. Yeah. And with kids, I never get mad. And what a lot of parents don't realize is that when a kid sees someone who's a little different like me and says a comment or something, a lot of times the parent goes for like some sort of quick solution. Mm-hmm. Like they'll look down at the kid and go, "Oh, he didn't eat his vegetables." And then just like grab him and run off. And like I'm like, no. Ask me.
Yeah.
Because – kids are blank slates. They want to learn. And 99% of the time, if a kid says, "Why are you little?" I explain it to him in a sort of a kid-friendly way. Like, "Hey, you know how that person over there has like black hair and that person's got red hair over there? Yeah, some people are really tall. Some people are really short. Some people are fat. Some people are skinny. Like, it just happens. It's just there's different types of people in the world." And 99% of the time, the kid's like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah. Like, they just want an answer. Mm-hmm. They just want a straight answer. So you don't have to say that I'm working undercover for Santa in August. Like, you don't have to say shit like that.
Right.
Just ask me, I'll tell you, and the kid will probably be fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really strange, the kind of things that, like, and so I'm not mad at kids. I get mad at adults, because adults will ask stupid shit. And you're like, you should know better.
Yeah.
You know. The thing always gets me is, I don't know if people think that I have extremely low self-esteem because I'm a little person, but oftentimes people come up to me and go, "What's up, big guy?" And I'm like, "F*** you. Just f*** you. What do you think, you're going to fool me?
Yeah,
you think you're going to call me big guy when I have this epiphany moment? Like, really? Are you serious? I'm a big guy? Oh, I'm going to Six Flags. I'm riding everything. Let's go. I'm going to do it." I'm not would you do that to other people? Like, do you go up to a fat guy and say, "What's up, Slim?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Super patronizing, right?
Yeah. Do you go up to Big Show and say, "Shrimpy," you know, or whatever?
"What's up, Tiny?"
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, no, you wouldn't do that. And I found out what it is the reason why people do that with me is because unless you're Stamos, there's no fear. Because a little person is small. We're tiny. We're not threatening. It's like, oh, I can piss him off and nothing's really going to happen to me. Mm. Like, what's he going to do? And whereas if you piss off the Big Show, he's going to hit you with a frying pan hand.
And crunch you.
And you're gone. Mm-hmm. You know, or whatever. As long as you're of average height or whatever, that could be scary. So that's why people do it to me. So it's weird knowing and – because I've had times when an adult has said something kind of condescending to me, and I've shot back with a "fuck you" or an insult, and it's like they just got stunned with a jab. And they're like, "Oh shit, I'm in a fight now." Mm-hmm. Oh, like. And by the way, if you ever see me out in public, you never want to fight me. Not because I'm going to kill you, but because if people see the fight going on, no one's going to run and then kick the shit out of the midget. No one's helping you.
Right.
I could be the instigator. I could be the asshole.
Yeah.
No one, they're just going to be like, "Oh my God, that guy's beating up that midget. F*** him." And then they're going to run and kick your ass. So
start screaming.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to help you. Never fight a dwarf.
Right.
Never. It's never going to end well for you. Or, worst comes to worst, I actually do beat you up, which can happen.
Oh, yeah.
I wrestled in high school. So, by the way, that was the best. When I was wrestling in high school, because I would beat kids at like, all right.
What was your weight class?
103.
Okay.
So, but I'm like, since you can't see me, I'm built like a medicine ball. Like, I'm small and stocky.
But most little people are like trying to, like, Hornswoggle splashing off the top rope is murder.
Because it's a lot of weight in a small amount of
and
area.
And he can't distribute the weight like I could on my hands and legs. He just, boom.
Yeah, he can't cannonball. Slap the mat.
No. It hurt like shit. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, when I would beat these kids, and they're because they, if you're 103 pounds in high school, if you're not a dwarf, you're a noodle. You know what I mean? You're a tall, thin, you got no muscle mass on you. So I would manhandle some of these kids, and like in front of their dads, that I felt bad sometimes. And I'm like, my God, your father just watched his son get like physically dominated by a midget.
Right.
That's gotta suck. That's gotta suck for you. Like you're not there. They don't even give you the participation trophy.
You don't get a ribbon for that. Yeah.
I mean, you get a completely different one.
What's it like when you like? Have you ever had like hecklers? What do they say? What do you do?
I've destroyed people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, because here's the thing, and all right, like if you, and this is not to say I'm a better comic than this person. It's just different. But like, let's say Anthony Jeselnik gets a heckler. Anthony Jeselnik is a good-looking white dude. Like, he probably hasn't been insulted too much. Now, he's a pro. He will destroy your ass. But I'm just trying to use him as a reference.
Sure.
A guy like me, I've been heckled my whole life before comedy. So I'm a trained assassin in this. You are not going to win. And whatever insult you have, I've heard it. Right. And I have a prepared, like, chambered comeback ready to go. You will not win. And I... Don't come to my show and be like, all right, I'll be the one that gets it. No, you won't. I promise you, you won't.
What are some of the things you've heard?
Oh, my God. Like, there was one guy in, like, I think it was Alabama, and he had, like, and he just yelled out leprechaun at something, and I turned him, like, and I just flat out turned him, like, sometimes I'll break him down psychologically. I'm like, now, why did you yell that? Did you yell that because you thought that was funny? Were you sitting on that? Were you like, no, I'm really going to get him. This leprechaun thing. He's never heard this shit before. Like, of course I've heard this shit before. March is the most terrifying month of the year for me. So, like, that's what you – no. And I told him, like, try again. Mm-hmm. Yell something that maybe I haven't heard. So then he couldn't think of something. So I'm like, oh, okay, so you're not thinking quite so clearly. So I could equate that to you being from Alabama. Now, how does that feel, motherfucker? And like the whole crowd's just going like
on your side.
Oh my God! And you know, because like I don't know, in wrestling it's a little different because you can be a little meaner, especially for the heel.
Yeah,
like you can flat out steal a kid's toy and rip it apart and be like, ah, that's my character.
Well, yeah, sure. but like when I've hosted a lot of award shows and stuff, especially here in LA, mm-hmm. and there's always, you know, this guy start getting drunk, you know, music award shows, and they all shit. I'm like, listen, I am the most ultimate heel. Yeah. I get booed for a living. There's nothing you can say.
Can't do it.
Nothing you can do that's going to... And I was with Andrew WK one time. Yeah. We were co-hosting. That poor guy there chatting camel toe at him because he wears these white jeans. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's part of my life. I'm used to it, so it's not a big deal. You can't get me.
Yeah, that's my... You know? That's some of my favorite things when a wrestler will be cutting a promo or in the ring and a fan will yell something and it'll be clear.
Yes.
And then the wrestler responds to it,
sure.
or a crowd chants something.
It's like a heckler, yeah. It's like you get that right off the bat because I think Seinfeld said, you know, I've got the mic.
Yeah.
I always win.
You always win.
You know, with the mic
you
there.
You always win. You're not – and you've just been thinking about this.
Yeah.
Like I've been trained in this.
Yeah, like you said. I'm just throwing retorts out off the top of my head.
It's
destroying you.
It's just not going to work well. Now, I know – that I've definitely had sets where it's not going well and I could like, all right, I got to figure out why this isn't happening, why they're not getting me. Maybe I should do more dirty jokes. Maybe I'm too dirty. Maybe I should clean it up. Maybe I'll try some political humor. Maybe I'll try some current event stuff. I want to know, what do you do in a match when you know like, we don't have this crowd?
Same thing. You have to read the crowd.
Try stuff.
But let me ask you this though, because there's a lot of guys, especially now, who go to the ring with a set match planned, and they just go through it.
Yep.
The art of changing on the fly is almost a loss. The same with rock and roll.
Yeah.
This crowd is not biting it. We got to do a cover song. We got to slice it up a bit or do something here.
Yeah.
But you deviate from that. So when you go on stage with your set, do you have an actual set? Or do
I have an outline.
Right.
I have posts. I have signposts I'm going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way, I will do the therapy dog joke. I will do whatever joke. Mm. But in the middle, if something happens, if a waitress spills drinks, if I get a heckler, if I notice a guy is in the front row wearing overalls, okay, let's talk about that. Like if I find out like, oh, they're not responding to this humor, let's try this. Like
you said, different styles.
Yeah. So I got I'll be able to change on the fly. And I think it's important, whether it be in comedy, wrestling, music, whatever, you're able to be fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I've seen comics that have that script, and it's like, dude, that's not,
they're not
working.
Buying it.
Yeah, like that's why I totally respect guys like Stephen Wright that just tells jokes.
Yeah,
just tells a joke. He can't stop and like go a different way, mm-hmm. or tell a personal story or curse more or whatever.
Right.
Like, yeah. So, and I would imagine the same way if like wrestlers are doing like a quick match or whatever, and they just have that script.
Yeah. If you're on TV, you can't really improv, but if you're at a live event or if you have more time, you can do what you got to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who are some of the comedians that you admire?
Oh man.
Both now or then?
Every comic has to say Pryor, Carlin, Bruce. Mm-hmm. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
There is no modern stand-up without those three guys.
People forget, if you hear those names but don't actually know their comedy,
yeah.
go back and check
go
it
back.
Out. It is hilarious.
It's hilarious. And the thing is people will go back and watch Richard Pryor, and they'll be like, oh, wow, he's doing like hacky black jokes. And you're like, no, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Everyone else is copying
him. He invented them.
That was the first time that happened.
Right.
Like, now everyone's doing a bad Richard Pryor mm-hmm. impression. So, yeah, Carlin, Pryor, Bruce. Bruce, right now, I would say Burr, Jim Jeffries are just – I love guys and girls that wind the audience up tight to where they're like, oh, my God, I don't know if I can laugh at this. And
yeah.
then let that rubber band go, mm-hmm. and then just snap back. So a guy like Christopher Titus, where his first special, he talked about his mom committing suicide and his dad like being abusive and like growing up, like just horrible topics, but making them so funny,
right?
Because the audience was so tense.
Who's that kid from SNL? Pete.
You
know what I'm talking. Pete.
I know he's been on the podcast. Why can't I think of his name?
Davidson.
Pete Davidson. Yes. Thank
you. He tells a story about his dad dying in the towers
11.
At 9/11.
Yeah.
And it's funny, but you're like, are we supposed to be laughing at this?
Yes.
Those sort of things, right?
I had a moment. Kind of my moment of that was on my second special in Showtime. It's called Daddy Issues. And the reason why it's called Daddy Issues is because my dad was diagnosed with skin cancer and had like little to no chance.
Mm.
They flat out said like, all right, get your affairs in order.
Mm.
And he fought it and he beat it.
Mm.
So like, and there was a time when I tried to talk about it on stage and it just, I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't too far removed. And about being performers, the audience never knows what you're going through. They don't know that your girl just fought with you. They don't know that your dad is doing that. They don't know. They just want to see the show. So I was doing a show in Denver, Colorado, and at the Comedy Works there, which is one of the best clubs in the country. And I knew that today was the day my dad was going back in to get the results in from the second round of chemotherapy. This means either A, you know, we're good, or not pretty much not going to happen, because if you go in for a third round, it's like, oh,
that's it.
Yeah. So I know that this call is going to come at some point in the day. I have a show that night. Waiting, call doesn't come. The opening act is on. The phone rings, and it's my mom. And I know this is the call.
Mm-hmm.
So I pick up the phone. I answer. I go, hello. And then she doesn't even waste time. The first words out of her mouth are, "He's in remission." And I cried. I fell to the ground wailing, Chris. Just like the most like crying.
Yeah.
And then literally 7 seconds after that happened, please welcome to stage Brad Williams. And you got to walk out there.
Yeah, show must go on,
you
right?
Got to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that it was – the show must go on.
Yeah.
And you have a story that I witnessed that is kind of not exactly like this, but me and the aforementioned Ozzy were at the TLC.
Ozzy's getting a lot of FaceTime today.
Yeah.
A lot of word time.
Ozzy,
say hi.
Hi.
He's a real guy, just
yeah,
so you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
So it was the TLC. What did you
tell me? The TLC match the night after Triple H tore his quad.
Right. Yeah.
Which you guys didn't know you were going to do that.
In Anaheim,
and I'm from Orange County. I was in the audience
that
night.
Wow. Yeah, we had a show, Sacramento, San Jose, San Diego. Yeah. No, it was. I can't remember where it was. It
must have been close to.
It was somewhere like I think it was the Sacramento area. Yeah. San Jose. San Jose was what it was. And we had the match. It was me and Benoit versus Triple H and Austin.
Mm-hmm.
That's when Triple H blew out his quad.
Yep.
So everything changed because the program was supposed to be me and Austin for the title, and then Chris and Triple H splitting off.
Right.
Because Triple H got hurt. Everything changes.
Yeah.
We fly to Anaheim, land at the airport, and they say, oh, I go straight to the building. You guys have a TLC, which are very hard matches to put together.
They're complicated. And lots of high spots.
Lots of chain reaction of guys.
Yep.
And because it was West Coast and it was a live show, the show started at 5 p.m. So we landed at like noon and had to do all of this
five crazy hours.
So,
yeah, it was you, said, Benoit. Who else was in that? Was it the Hardys?
Versus Benoit versus Hardys versus
Dudleys?
It might be Dudley and Jeff Hardy. They were together or something. I can't remember. It was.
Yeah,
I mean, might have been Dudleys. You guys probably know better than I do.
Yeah,
but like you said, show must go on.
So you've got to do it.
That's the way it goes.
And even in the match the night before, when Triple H tore his quad, you put him in the walls.
Yeah.
When he had a torn quad,
and asked him, "Do you want me to do this?" And he said, "Yes, absolutely." So, I mean, it's one of those
things. How is that for you? Are you like, I'm about to, like, because had you torn your quad at that point?
I've
like,
never torn anything.
Never.
I've never been injured. I broke my arm in 94 and have never been injured since.
Wow.
So, knock on wood, right? As this lamp falls on my head. But you know, it was something I was thinking about, too, when you're talking about communities that we like.
Yeah.
There is no precedent set for you. You're the first little person comedian.
Yeah, it's like me and Tanya Lee. That's it.
Right. And Tanya's making some. She has more steam in the UK.
Yes. She's more across the pond. I'm kind of top dog over here for dwarf comics. But so there is nothing.
There's nothing.
Like, you can't be like, I don't have my Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
I'm going to be, and this is, wow, this is going to sound real egotistical, but I'm going to be a Richard Pryor for another dwarf comic.
Sure.
And it's already happened. Some other little people have contacted me on Facebook and be like, I started doing stand up because I saw you do it, because I didn't see any other people that looked like me doing stand up. I didn't think it was possible. And as someone who's a little different, there's nothing better, because in every other role that a dwarf has, it's always like some director or writer are putting you in there as the elf, as the fool. Mm. In comedy, your microphone.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control. You're writer, you're producer, you're director, you're actor, you're starring. So that puts me in complete control of the message that's getting out there to the audience. So I can talk about things that piss me off as a little person. I can talk about the fact that do not pick me up after a show. Because that shit happens, Chris.
People pick you up?
They want to do it for pictures. They
fans?
Yes, they want to just come up to me and be like, "Hey man, let's do this shit." Like,
oh
and,
my god!
And like, we're not reenacting Lion King, bro. We're not
Pennsylvania.
Like, we're not doing that shit.
But that's brutal.
It is.
How disrespectful!
And I'm a 33-year-old man. You wouldn't walk up to some 33-year-old dude and pick him up. Like,
see, but that's how crazy people are.
Yes,
is that like, I would never go up to a stranger and slap you on the back as hard as I can and go, "What's up, man?"
Yeah,
I get that all the time. Don't slap me. Don't touch me. I'll knock you out, dude.
Right, because you know what's coming after that slap.
Well, yeah.
It's a response. I've broken two noses in my life.
Wow.
Because someone picked me up from the back. I didn't know who they were.
Sure.
I don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you my friend? Do you like me? Are you going to spike me?
Right.
Like, I don't know.
Are you drunk? Yeah. You gonna drop me?
Yeah. So he's both times the guy was picking me up, and I just hurled my head back as hard as I could and just blood everywhere. It was awesome. And the guy's like, "I'm going to sue you." I'm like, "Try it."
Yeah.
Sue me. Because I guarantee you, when the guy's like, because no one's going to believe that you were standing, I was standing, and I jumped up and headbutted you.
Yeah, right,
that's
right,
not
right.
going to happen. Yeah. I'm not a heat-seeking missile with my...
Came and touched me first.
Yeah, so that was my defense.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And if I ever see a wrestler, I've run into wrestlers at LAX, you do all the time, mm-hmm. or whatever airports, and I run into Booker T. I did not know him, but I'm a huge fan, and I want to say hi to him. But yeah, I'm not touching.
Because slap him, or you're going to kick him in the shin. Hey, Booker T, how's it going?
No.
You know,
I don't know what kind of response
he's going to have. When you're talking about Hollywood, and one of the big things that stand-ups do as we wind down here is, you get the sitcom, you get the movie.
Yeah.
Is that something that you think about? Because it's obviously a very
right
certain demo.
I'm writing, I'm always pitching stuff. currently I'm writing a show that would be starring me and as the lead, but not necessarily a dwarf show. It's just the lead happens to be a dwarf.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, if it goes somewhere, great. If not, the best part about being a comedian is that no matter what Hollywood decides, if they cast you or not. By the way, if you want to see me in something, I'm in a brand new movie that just came out on Netflix called Little Evil. Hmm. It just came out. It's a horror comedy, and you will see me.
Are
in
you
there.
Little Evil?
I am little. I'm not necessarily evil, but yeah. So you don't have to wait for Hollywood to be like, now you're a star. If you're a comic, you just keep working. Mm-hmm. You just keep doing stand up. I'll always have stand up, and I'll always be a stand up because, and you've been in stuff like there's nothing that competes with the live crowd.
Of course,
nothing. That's no. I mean, so much so that you have a second job where you're in front of a live audience where you want that much adrenaline.
Right, you get that instant gratification that you don't get if you're filming a project.
No, like because you do a line. Is the audience going to like this? Are they going to think it's funny? I don't know. You know, whereas if you're doing a move, you know if they liked it.
Sure.
Right away.
Yeah. Tell a joke, get a laugh.
Yeah, get a laugh. You play the first four chords of a Fozzy song and the place erupts. You're like, oh shit. Like,
this one works. Yeah.
Yeah, they love this song. And so no matter what happens, I'll always come back to stand up because there's nothing
else.
Is your
crowds getting bigger?
Yeah.
That's great.
And taller too. No, no, they are. I'm selling out. I know when your wife saw me, she saw me on a sold out night at the Tampa Improv.
That's great.
And that's a big room.
It was the Improv. It wasn't Size Splitters. It was Improv.
It's okay. I used to play Size Splitters.
Now the Improv is the bigger room.
Yeah. It's a little bigger.
Place.
But shout out to Size Splitters. A lot of great comics.
We love
there.
Brad. Yeah, good people.
Yep. And I'm a couple markets. I do theaters in Boston. I do a theater here, Southern California. I'll do a small theater. So, yeah, it's
building,
going
man.
Well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My dream, and this is literally my dream, I want to either one day, guest host Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
And B, either have a match or a spot with either Wee Man or Dinklage. I want that shit so bad.
Forgot about Wee Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he's the original dwarf wrestler, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or not wrestler, but yeah, like he's a stuntman, dude.
Yeah.
He could take... I want to do a Mayweather-McGregor-type pay-per-view fight. And me and Wee Man are boys. We've talked about it.
Do people confuse you guys?
Time.
Yeah, because there are some similarities.
All
the
time. Yeah. People think I'm Wee Man. Not so much Dinklage. He looks a little different than me. But, they legit. And the craziest part is when I tell them I'm not, and they're like, fight me. And I'm like, no. You're him.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, because wrestlers have a look.
Well, I'm
sure people
I had that. For me, it's Bon Jovi. Gordon Ramsay, which is like
Gordon
maybe
Ramsay.
20 years.
What?
But this was a good one. A lady comes up to the airport. She's like, I know who you are.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. She's like, I won't tell anyone. It's like, okay. I'm a big fan of all your movies. Who do you think I'm? Shh, don't worry. It's okay, Mr. Swayze. I'm not going to say what I'm. And I'm like, I think he's been dead for like a year. She's like, shh, it's okay.
I thought you were Swayze.
Convinced that was Patrick Swayze.
Post death?
Well, I can't remember if it was before death or post death, but Patrick Swayze is a hot dude. So I'll take the Swayze. But she was so like, shh, it's okay. You don't have to deny it. I know. It's okay. So the Swayze
awesome.
Thing, you know?
That's awesome.
A couple last things. Did you ever watch Life is Short with Warwick Davis? That is so funny.
That was, that was him. And that was
the Ricky Gervais.
Ricky Gervais.
Stephen Merchant. Yeah.
So great. And along those lines of, I love improvised stuff, and that there's a lot of improv in that. If you want to see me improv, once again on Netflix, it's a movie called Mascots. It's a Christopher Guest film.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah, I'm in that. I do the scene with Fred Willard.
Oh yeah,
I'm the worm.
That's
so,
right.
So yeah, that's me.
That
so,
was
yeah.
like that's like the, that was the most unheralded of the Christopher Guest mockumentaries.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an unsung movie. It's,
I love
it's,
it.
It's
yeah.
great.
It was so much fun to work.
How
with
did
Fred.
You get that gig?
Literally, they called me in, and they had a bunch of dwarf actors that they wanted to try out, and they said they don't give you much because it's an improvised audition.
It's just a like a scene, like a description.
Yeah. So they told me your character is called the Worm, and I was like, okay. So I started doing lines with them, and then I literally did the Worm dance move
with Fred Willard.
He's got the part.
That's
dude.
I knew that I knew you from somewhere. I knew it. As soon as I saw the picture, that's where it's from. Mascots.
There it is.
How much of a genius is Fred Willard?
All right. Here's the thing. You've talked to me now for about an hour. You see how high energy I am.
Yeah.
So when I'm improvising a scene with him, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to be my typical self. I'm going to be high energy. Fred was so much over the top of me that I had to be like, oh, I'm the straight guy. Yeah. Like, I'm the calm dude. I'm the deadpan. Let him go nuts.
Yeah.
And if you watch the scene, that's how it played out. And the scene is I'm a mascot. He's a coach. And he's, like, saying some pretty insulting things to me. He said, like, now were you always this small? Or did something happen? Like, and then when we're doing the scene, it's all improvised. No script. I've got these comebacks. And the crew was like, how are you? Like, you have jokes that you're coming back with him at. And I'm like, yeah, I've heard all of these before. Yeah. This is not improv for me.
Yeah.
I've heard these before. So, yeah, I had that train. So
I have to go back and watch it again.
Yeah. It's a fun deal. So, yeah, Little Evil, Mascots, and then the podcast called About Last Night. And
Comedy. Showtime.
Brad Williams, comedy.com for all my tour dates. I tour like a madman.
We'll list them all before when the show airs.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those guys, it's kind of like wrestling, where if I'm not in your city, wait 2 or 3 months. I'll be there. Yeah, I'll be there. I got a lot of frequent flyer miles. You know you fly a lot when the crew in other airports know you.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you check in, they're like, all right, oh, Brad,
hey,
you're back.
Brad, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I'm like, oh, God, I fly so much.
So last question for you. Yeah. It's hard to say. What's your favorite routine that you do?
Oh, man.
Besides the ones that we spoke about.
All right. Well, this is a routine I don't really do anymore because I had to retire it.
Vintage.
It was in the first special. But I would close my show by getting a girl up on stage and giving her a lap dance. And there's cartwheels involved. There's some stripping involved. It's on YouTube. And so I don't do it really anymore. Rare. But, yeah, that was always fun because there was some crazy nights where the lap dance went really well. Sometimes when I do the cartwheel move, one girl leaned forward and I flat out just kicked her right in the face. I did like a capoeira kick or something, and I flat out just cartwheel kicked her in the face. There was one time where a guy wanted to sue me because he said, like, you just sexually assaulted my wife. And I'm like, great, sue me. I want this to go to court. All the morning radio shows will pick this up. They'll all be talking about how the guy's suing the midget for giving a lap dance to his wife at a comedy show. That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was that. And then even in my special when I did it, I knew I was going to do it, but I didn't know who I was going to pick out. So I'm going around the audience, and I see this beautiful girl. And I'm like, that. I want to grind on that woman. And I got her on stage, gave her a lap dance. It went really well. I find out later the girl is Jennifer Sturger. And if you don't remember that name, Brett Favre texted her some pictures.
I know that name, yeah.
And then she went on, like, she wanted to be on, like, the Maxim Hot 100 or something. I'm like, that's who I picked out? Well done. For the special?
Wow.
And it was
just
great.
Random?
Yeah, because then she went and, like, she tweeted out, and, like, all of her fans that want to do inappropriate things to her, they all watched it, like, just for that. Then they became fans of mine. So, yeah, it was fantastic. So, yeah, that was probably my favorite routine. I'll do it rarely. Like, if there's a birthday,
you can get away with it.
Yes. If there's
right?
If there's a bachelorette party, sure. Why not? You know, like, hell, your fiance is at a strip club right now getting some girl named Cinnamon grinding her crotch on him. You deserve crotch in your face.
You deserve midget crotch.
Yeah. By the way, midget crotch, I hope, opens up for Fozzy one time.
That's great.
That's a great
band. That other band name that we thought of earlier, I can't remember what it was. Thanks, dude.
Dude, thank you, Chris.
Thanks again to Brad Williams. If you haven't seen him do stand-up, you got to get to a show. You'll laugh your little butts off. And, of course, you have the opportunity to see him live twice on Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, October 2018. $150. You can hold your cabin, reserve your cabin. Do that now. Go to Chris Jericho Cruise. .com. And speaking of laughing your arse off, do it every Sunday with Team Tiger Awesome. Well, you'll be treated to all of their crazy antics, including their hilarious take on the news.
This is the news with Team Tiger Awesome. In travel news, my dad said he was coming in at 6 today, but called from the airport to report he caught an earlier flight because he was, quote, at the airport 6 hours early anyway. No word yet on how drunk he is. This week, the culinary world was shocked as Fuddruckers officially declared their fixin' station was now also a salad bar. Among those moved to tears by this decision, chef and healthy foods advocate Jamie Oliver, the ghost of Julia Childs, and my buddy Chris. And now a look at the Parker Market. Jackets make a racket, moving up to 5. Faux fur falls to 4. No stenches on trenches, holding at 3. Slickers slide to 2nd, while puffers get tougher to number 1. For more news, that is, man, it is just not news, listen to the Team Tiger Awesome Show every Sunday on the Jericho Network right here on Podcast 1.
That's right, TTA, crazy. Had a great show this week talking about creating a horror movie right around the Halloween season. Go hit the subscribe button on the Team Tiger Awesome Show so you never miss an episode. Go to Apple Podcasts and do that for all the Jericho Network shows. Subscribe to them. Leave everyone a 5-star rating and review while you're there. Team Tiger Awesome every Sunday. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. New on Tuesdays. They got a great tribute to Hawk, Road Warrior Hawk this week. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. I just guested it on his show last week. We had a great time. The Raven Effect. New episodes every Monday. He's telling the great story about why he quit WCW. So if you want to know a little bit more about WCW in the 90s and how crazy it was and why Raven walked away from big money, you hear all that. And then the flagship show, Keep It at 100 with Conan on Thursdays. It's a reunion of WCW Live with Bob Ryder, Jeremy Borash, Vince Russo, Conan, great groups of guys there. Beyond the Darkness, bringing the paranormal stories and interviews to you every weekday. Dave Schrader, Tim Dennis are also going to be on the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager, spinning some horrific tales of the paranormal. And Dave's also behind True Crime Tuesdays, going at patreon.com as well. For $5 a month, you can get a new True Crime episode every Tuesday with no commercials. Sign up now at patreon.com. And if you want to keep up what's happening with Fozzy, on the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, all those things, then subscribe to Talk is Jericho. Everything that's happened in my world, you'll hear about it first right here on this show. Speaking of Fozzy, thanks to all of you for coming out to Fozzy Across America on Saturday. We did 3 cities and 3 time zones, Fort Myers, El Paso, Las Vegas. Each one was better than the last, and flying on the Fozzy private jet, and I'll tell you what, we're not Led Zeppelin, but on Saturday we sure as hell felt like it. So it was a great experience. Judas, the album is out now. Judas is number 1 on the Spotify Rock Hard playlist, still near the top of the charts on iTunes, almost at 10 million views for the video on YouTube, and number 9 on the rock radio charts this week. So all of that stuff is great, and now we are heading to Europe starting October 27th after we do Aftershock this Sunday. Fozzy meets Ozzy, finally. And then I'm hosting the Loudwire Awards on Tuesday at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. We're giving awards to Rob Halford, Sammy Hagar, Tony Iommi, Anthrax is playing, Avenged Sevenfold is playing. I'm hosting. It's going to be a crazy, crazy show. And then, of course, we head to Europe after that. Birmingham, England on October 27th at the O2 Academy. If you live in Birmingham and you're thinking about coming to this show, I saw the updated ticket reports today. The show is going to sell out. It's 10 days from now. It's going to sell out, so don't wait. Make sure you go. Dublin on the 28th, Belfast on the 29th at Limelight 2. That one's going to sell out. Watch out. Chester at the Live Rooms on Halloween. That's going to sell out. Manchester at the Waterfront. London at the Islington Academy. That's going to sell out. Sheffield, Glasgow, sold out already. Sorry, guys. Newcastle on the 5th. Then we head over the pond. Amsterdam on the 7th. Aschaffenburg on the 8th. Pratteln, Switzerland on the 9th. We got on the 10th. We got Trezzo, Italy. That one's going to sell out. 11th in Roncade, 12th in Rome. That one's the stinker of the tour so far. So if you live in Rome and you want to come see the Fozzy, a hardcore superstar tour, go buy your tickets now. Every tour's got the one show that doesn't click. That's it for now. But let's make it a good one anyways. 14th Vienna, 15th Munich, 16th Essen, 17th Hamburg at Gruenspan. That's going to sell out. On the 18th in Genk, we finished the tour in Belgium. That's with hardcore superstar Madame Mayhem, the last band. Go get your tickets and check out all info at FozzyRock.com and come be a part of the Fozzy VIP package, the best VIP you're going to experience. We play a mini concert just for you, doing different sets every night. It's something really, really fun. It's getting over huge here in the States. We're bringing it over to Europe. FozzyRock.com for all Fozzy tickets and Fozzy VIP packages. All right, thanks to everybody here that's listening. Thanks to all my sponsors to help me do this show for you for twice a week for free. And big thanks to the DDP Yoga. Go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Take advantage of the special sale. sale. DDP is running exclusively for all you Sexy Beast Talk is Jericho listeners. And of course, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Jericho to post your job for free. Find the employee you want to. Keep listening. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And coming up this Friday, it's the Loudwire Awards Show Special. All the tales of the history of the Loudwire Awards that used to be called the Golden God Awards, with me and Josh Bernstein, the producers of the show, telling great stories about Joe Perry, Dave Grohl, Ozzy Osbourne, William Shatner, Motley Crue, Gene Simmons, Avenged Sevenfold, Metallica, so much, Andrew WK, wow, lots of great stuff on the Loudwire Awards Show Special coming up this Friday, a few days before the return of the Josh Bernstein, Chris Jericho produced Loudwire Awards. So we'll see you then. It's a great rock and roll, your rock and roll story coming up on Friday. And in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy.